I haven't seen a script, but I've no doubt if it isn't up to par, they'll chuck it out. Ooh la 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 la. All my actor friends are cracking wise, but I can see the envy in their eyes.
Stupid.
Yeah. You ever met a kid? You're dumb. Welcome to Fan Fiction Writer's Room. I'm your editing manager, Spencer Swartz.
And I'm your managing editor, Liz Cernick.
Here on Fan Fiction Writer's Room.
Okay, sorry, go.
Here on Fan Fiction Writer's Room, we take characters submitted by you, the listener, and weave them into a masterpiece in the way all great stories were meant to be told.
By amateurs on the internet. Oh yeah!
Oh yeah, brother!
If you would like to suggest characters for us, submit them to ffwrshow@gmail.com.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm okay. I got this apple ginger.
Yeah.
It's burning. It's burning my mouth and my throat.
Your choice of beverage today is a very
interesting
yes. One.
Okanagan apple cider has a really delicious apple ginger flavor. And so I was looking for apple ginger in the store a couple of days ago, and Okanagan was all out. So I got the Lone Tree brand,
which is also from Okanagan.
No.
Yeah, 100% Okanagan apples.
Oh, well, from the area, not the brand.
Yes.
So, but it's the brand Okanagan apple cider that I'm talking about.
Okay, well, I was talking about the town.
Oh, okay. Well, then you were wrong.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's a different brand, and apparently their idea of apple ginger is not delicious apple cider with, like, a hint of ginger flavoring. It's just, like, ginger in your mouth.
Have you ever had the, I don't think it was even ginger beer, ginger soda, or ginger, maybe it was ginger beer?
Yeah, there's, like, non-alcoholic ginger beer sometimes. It's like a ginger ale.
In Harry Potter, were the ginger beers they drinking, were those alcoholic?
No, they drank butterbeer.
Butterbeer.
I don't know if butterbeer is a made-up concoction or a UK thing. Because a lot of things
in Harry
that
Potter.
Us in the West assumed were wacky wizarding world things are just British. It's just, they eat, like, meat pies in Britain, and they have, like, schools in their houses in their schools and boarding schools.
Yeah.
And
I was just talking to
jumpers
my...
Jumpers and...
I was talking to my friend Rachel, and she was complaining about this very thing. She was like, I thought boarding school in castles was this wacky wizard thing, and then it turns out in England, kids just go to school in castles.
Yeah, sometimes.
Because there are castles in England.
Yeah. And they, like, use them for things.
Because these castles are just sitting there, and they need to store all these classes somewhere.
You can just rent a castle to have your wedding in.
Mm-hmm.
And they have houses. You're split into four houses,
yeah,
and
is,
that's, like, your...
Just so they...
The wing or something, just to organize them
better,
I guess. Like, intramurals.
Now, do they split the kids by brave, empathetic...
Yeah, they all put on... They get sorted according to their personalities by a magical hat. That's just a British thing.
Mm-hmm.
Actual magic, it's just in Britain. It's just British. They're all wizards in Britain, actually.
The only fantasy in the Harry Potter novels, or in the Harry Potter series, is Fantastic Beasts, because there are no American wizards. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, right? Crazy.
Yeah.
My friend from Scotland was telling me about the houses in his school, and he was like, it's not
so
really
did he
important,
get,
though. He didn't even remember what the name was.
Did he get sorted into the brave house, the empathetic house, the good at finding things house, or the evil house?
Yeah, well,
was he evil?
No.
Are you friends with an evil person?
No.
Evil snake friend?
Never. Never.
Okay.
He was like, yeah, mostly it's just, like, north, south, east, west, and they're named after, like... People from history around your town.
They're not named after the founders of the school. How did four people found a school, by the way?
Most of that book doesn't work.
Yeah.
If you think about it for, like, a second.
Yeah.
What I always assumed was that there's just, like, a normal amount of teachers. And you only hear about the important ones. Turns out in Rowling's head, like, no, there's only, like, 9 teachers in the entire fucking school. There's, like, 1 math teacher, 1 divination teacher, 1 transfigure. Like, that makes no sense. I was, like, I just assumed assumed it was like, oh, McGonagall's head of the Transfiguration Department.
Right.
But she has, like, other teachers that teach, like, the other grades during the day. What? It's so stupid.
Maybe they all have time turners.
Probably. That's, I mean, any inconsistencies, yeah, it's probably a time turner. Yeah. You can't say a wizard did it because they're all wizards.
So. I am frustrated with the spell Avada Kedavra.
Avada Kedavra.
For two reasons. One, you pick up a wand, the first thing you say is abracadabra.
Right?
Very close.
Yeah.
Second thing, I think...
Came with a stutter? Accidentally killing all his friends.
I think a killing curse is kind of lame. Like, mm-hmm. all the spells... Like, if you want to kill someone, do some, like, fire spell. Or, like... You know, there's so many ways to kill people with magic. The fact that, like, there's this one spell that just, like, makes the life leave your body kind of blows. Like, that's the least creative way to kill someone.
Yeah, but it makes it especially evil because that's its only use.
I guess so.
That's it.
Yeah. It's
not
showy,
not flashy.
No.
Just death.
Just death.
The death spell. Mm-hmm. Just saying Avada Kedavra wouldn't do anything. You have to do it in your mind. You have to will it on the person. You have to use your magic powers.
Right.
And feel it flow through your arm into the wand.
Uh-huh.
Out the other side.
So how does magic work?
I just told you. It flows through your brain, down your mm-hmm. arm, as you will it into
It's existence. Like chakras.
Yes, and out
from
the wand.
Naruto.
I would say exactly like chakras, actually.
Yeah. Turns out that Naruto is Japanese Harry Potter for more reasons than there's two boys and a girl.
Yeah. And because the really good ninjas can do their chakras without magic wands.
That's true. Even.
Yeah. I need to pick Naruto back up.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped too soon.
Yeah.
Because...
You never saw Rock Lee drunken fighting.
I didn't get to see Rock Lee
I also
fighting.
Never got to Rock Lee drunken fighting.
I didn't
fighting.
Even know that was going to happen.
Rock Lee, my favorite character.
The Uchiha's got in the way.
It seems like where I was, and I admit I ended pretty early, Rock Lee seems like he's out of commission forever.
Yeah, and that's what I was scared of.
Yeah.
Because you had some cool Rock Lee moments, and then at the same moment that Rock Lee was like, oh no, I can't fight anymore, then Sasuke comes back and is like, heck yeah, I can fight all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, now we're just moving on to Sasuke's story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dropped it.
Especially because Sasuke's the worst.
Yep.
And also, he starts using Rock Lee's moves. Do you remember this?
Oh, that's right. Because
he uses his magical eyes.
Sharingan.
And then he copies Rock Lee's moves, and then that's how he fights Gaara at the tournament.
That makes him double better.
Yeah. Because now he's really fast, and he can use lightning hands.
I remember me and my brother, years ago, when Naruto first sort of came out in the West, we were reading it together,
mm-hmm.
and we were both like, man, Sasuke's so cool. And mm-hmm. then a couple issues later, we were like, why does everyone in-universe acknowledge that Sasuke is cool? Now he fucking sucks.
Every girl in Naruto's job is to just tell us that Sasuke is the hottest.
Every time Sakura says Sasuke is cool and I like him, I like Sasuke less. And he becomes less awesome. It was so weird. Me and Daniel turned to each other and we were like, it's like magic. Mm-hmm. Every time someone says, wow, awesome, in regards to Sasuke, he sucks a little bit more. Until he just is negative.
In my most recent Naruto watch, I really wanted like a cool girl character. It turns out Hinata was that cool girl character, but it took a while for her to become the cool girl character.
Yeah.
Up until then, I was looking and I was like, all right, Tenten's gonna be the cool girl. And then, like,
yeah.
She shows up. Her first line is like, oh my god, that boy is really cute.
Right.
And I'm like, and then who gets even are you?
And then gets beaten off screen.
Yeah.
By giant fangirl. Like,
it's like, yeah, every girl introduced is just to remind us that Sasuke's the bomb.
Yeah, and then Sakura walked the line of being a cool character for so long until they decided her one and only major defining story trait is the fact that she likes Sasuke.
Yeah.
And oh no, her ex-best friend also likes Sasuke.
And
are you kidding
like,
me? It's middle school romance drama?
And I always wondered, like, do they both like Sasuke, or are they just competitive?
Well, that's what they keep, that's what the story shows us that they're actually just competitive. And then the story tells us that, no, Sakura actually really deeply cares for Sasuke.
It's like, at some point it feels like they forgot that it was just Ino and Sakura competing for just competition's sake.
So much times it feels like authors have a story they want to tell and they don't have the willpower to change it as it goes along.
Yes.
They've decided what a thing is and they can't stray from the path. It's the Harry Potter epilogue problem.
I was going to dunk on Rowling. And I was like, we've dunked on Rowling so much.
She just, it's so dunkable though. I'll stop dunking on Rowling when she'll shut the fuck up and get out of here. Or just write another series. Like, stop luxing all over the place. Ugh.
But, it's just like how the snake in Harry Potter was a Korean lady the whole time.
Right?
And that was planned from the beginning.
I don't doubt that was planned from the beginning. She has been on record the entire time of saying, like, every character has a really intricate backstory, and it's tough to decide what is and isn't going to get left in and left out.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure.
But then it's like, well, you've already made the decision of what is and isn't in the story. So you should be able to go back, look at the thing it is as a whole, and say, what does this add? What does this negate? Idea that Voldemort has a snake friend who's, like, kind of smart and, like, that they really bond is, like, it's super cool. It's a huge, it's like, oh, magic is, like, a natural element in the world. It's, like, his Slytherin sort of, like, he's so thoroughly a Slytherin.
Yes.
That he's affected the natural world around him. That the snake is, like, basically his familiar, you know?
Especially because parcel tongue exists.
Exactly! Like, it works. It works so well. And then it just doesn't work if Nagini's a lady. It's so stupid.
But, Nagini is a Horcrux. And Harry Potter is an accidental Horcrux. So can you just make a human a Horcrux on purpose?
Probably, but it would be stupid because a human is naturally mortal, right?
But so is a snake.
I was just thinking that as I'm saying it.
And I can't imagine, do snakes live a long time?
Although it wasn't necessarily that if the snake dies, the Horcrux is destroyed. The Horcrux needed to be destroyed in a specific way. Like, if the snake had just died of natural causes, then the Horcrux would have just, gone into the ether or just like transferred into whatever's closest.
Yeah, that's a good point because they needed to kill it with the sword of Gryffindor. Yeah, where Neville was like, also, I'm awesome, by the way.
You know, the more I think about it, the more there might be some inconsistencies.
Yeah,
there might be some like technicalities that just don't really work super well.
You think it was going to turn out that Neville was the chosen one all along? Because I kind of thought that until I was like halfway through the last book and was like, oh, I think Harry's going to be the chosen one.
I don't think I had that as like a fan theory, but I was like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I didn't actually think that that was going to be, but I was like, I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder. But then it was like, I think by the end of the book, the same book that we find out Neville could have possibly been one of the chosen ones, I think I dispelled that notion.
Sure.
Pretty quickly. But I for sure thought things were leading up to things that
It seemed like it was going to... I mean, because she consistently did that in the books, where she was having Harry and friends chase after their own horrible detectiveness, and then it turned out they're horrible detectives, and it was actually this other thing the whole time.
Right.
Constantly, that was the thing. Sirius was the bad guy. Oh no, it turns out that the rat is.
Spoilers!
The ugly rat is the
bad
guy.
God, when did Harry Potter come out? Is it 20 years ago now?
The fourth book was when I first heard of it. That was in grade 4. So, grade 4
And that's too many levels. Too many levels of addition and subtraction.
Yeah.
Because first you gotta go from grade 4 to grade 12. What year did I graduate? That many years. How mm-hmm. many years has it been since I graduated? That many. Add those together. That's how long ago grade 4 was.
Let's say it was 15 years.
Yeah.
Why? Did you have any
sort of... This was a long time.
You were just like, you want to feel old?
Yeah. I like being old.
That's great.
I was saying to my friend, I think I get happier every year. Like, the older I get, the happier I get.
I agree.
And it's great. And I was just reminded of that because I was on the train yesterday or the day before, and a school field trip of some kind came mm-hmm. on. Or some, like, Christmas extracurricular activity. But it was full
Bunch of little people.
9 and 10-year-old girls, specifically. Like, the most awkward people in the most awkward of times.
Yeah.
And I was just like... God, I do not miss childhood.
No.
At all. Like, responsibilities and adulthood and, like, doing taxes, all of that is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a price I'm willing to pay not be in childhood anymore.
Much rather take the responsibility of adulthood over the lack of freedom of
and uncertainty. Lack of confidence.
Yeah.
God, the like.
Whenever anyone's
fear of
like
constant judgment.
Whenever anyone's like, "Man, I wish I could go back to high school and take it over." It's like, man, if you went back to high school, all you'd take over is your clammy hands.
Yeah. I don't want to go. I want to magically go back in time to do it over as myself now.
Sure.
But that's a different thing entirely.
I don't really want to do that either. I don't want to do math class again.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to just be like, cool.
I just want to fuck up and be a dumb teen, consequence-free. And then the magic wears off and I go back to my life as it is.
Yeah.
I just want a magical adventure, consequence-free. That's what I really want.
Mm-hmm.
I guess putting it in high school is just for, like, an easy framing situation.
Exactly.
Narratively speaking.
Exactly.
So let's write the story of Nagini.
Nagini.
What we think the story is. Have you seen the movies?
I saw the first one and I thought it was really... It was, like... Fine, but it was so frustrating. Because, like, honestly, to her credit, she does a good job, a good-ish job, of making the magic not solve every problem mm-hmm. in the books. But that movie, where it was like, oh no, New York, his all-seen magic is real, what do we do? Well, I just have this magical creature that erases all people's memory. Let me just release it.
Wow.
And then it erases everyone in New York.
The Dewey's ex-pterodactyl.
Exactly. Which, like, they should have at least set up as a thing or something. Like, just pulling out this magical creature to erase everyone's memory was so, like... Yeah, magic can solve every problem. That's why you don't have it solve every problem.
That's why you give it limitations.
Exactly.
In story, in universe.
Having a magic system you can do, but you can't... It's like, speaking of Naruto, like, Naruto has a problem where Naruto and Sasuke just become more and more powerful over the series.
Right.
While Harry Potter has a problem where the rules aren't exactly...
They're not consistently
enforced. Like, these are two... Very different, but...
Related.
Very big problems when it comes to making a magical system in your fantasy story.
Mm-hmm.
What were you...
So we're
have you seen
out,
the Fantastic Beasts?
I have not. I've read about them,
you haven't
though,
seen either.
Every time I see something that even looks slightly like it's criticizing them, I get such a joy. Such
okay.
a thrill.
So what
I... don't
I'm,
care about it, so I'm just like, yay!
What I know...
about this dumb shit.
And we don't have to use any of this. But mm-hmm. what I know about Nagini is she is...
I think I pronounced it Nagini.
Nagini?
When I was reading it. But I think it's Nagini in the movies.
I don't know.
And Rowling
it's a Hermione situation.
Yeah, Rowling was a consultant on the movies. So the way the movies have things pronounced are the way they're pronounced.
Right.
So.
Although, I'm not going to get into it. There's like, I mean,
and the name Hermione is a literal name. Like, Hermione is just saying it wrong.
Sure, yeah. Well, I was just going to say, like, the thing with GIF and JIF where the creator is like, it's pronounced, I don't even know what the creator.
Yeah, right?
But it's like, that's grammatically incorrect.
And Rowling has been shown to be a very bad judge of her own creation.
Yes.
So, grain of salt. Anyway, so Snake Lady.
So Nagini. She is works at a circus as an animagus. No, as an animagus. So
just the fact that she can turn into a snake is enough of a draw?
Yeah, which is weird because, you know...
Because Harry Potter's teacher does that on the daily.
Yeah, you'd think it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can make it more of a deal. And I think she's in love with Ezra Miller's character.
Who is...
So, in the first movie...
That's also what I read, that Ezra Miller's the only reason to watch it. He's the only good character. But that might have been just been that one person's
opinion. Which is weird, because in the first movie, he is... A wizard that is spoiler, because it is like a spoiler, because they're doing the thing where they're trying to show you it's this character over here, and then it turns out it's Ezra Miller the whole time.
Right.
But he's a wizard who has denied, he hates wizards. They're doing like a Salem witch trial thing where in America people are like, wizards we are real and we have to destroy them.
The Muggles are doing this?
The Muggles are doing this. Oh, the Nomagi. In America, they call them Nomagi.
Let me just roll that name around, crush it on my body for a while.
So...
Do they travel? Are they like nomads?
No.
I mean, there was some sort of pun.
I think it's, just, it's just no magic. And then, yeah, they shortened it. So Ezra Miller is a wizard who is in this cult of like...
So he's pretending to be a muggle? Who's actually
he thinks he's a muggle.
Oh.
He doesn't know he's a
wizard. He's not a squib?
No.
Oh.
He, yeah, was like, I guess, born a wizard. And then because he's in this weird cult that hates wizards, he is just filled with self-loathing and is denying his own abilities and everything. Which makes him a magical creature.
It doesn't, though, because Hermione was born from Muggles.
No, because she never denied her abilities. The self-loathing makes him a magical creature. That
like it turns him into a non-human or like yes, it a, makes a variant
him,
of human.
It makes him into, I don't remember what it's called, but basically it's a black sludge that attacks New York is what it does. It makes him explode. He explodes into a black sludge that then goes on a rampage through New York. His self-loathing becomes so powerful that he destroys his human body. So if a Go wizard on. Denies their
That's
own
what I'm gonna
magical...
Say. So any wizard
yes.
who denies being a wizard...
And is so filled with self-loathing that they hate their own wizardness...
Turns into a city-destroying magical abomination?
Yes.
That's such a common occurrence that could have happened and would happen. Think about real term... Think about real-life equivalences.
Yeah.
Like... internalized misogyny. Mm-hmm. I'm a girl and I hate... Girls suck. I don't want to be... Like, LGBT people in deep, deep closeted denial. Yeah. Like, people of color who have been... Again, like, internalized the self-loathing race. Like, there must be so many wizards that hate being wizards and deny the fact that... What? It's stupid. It's insane.
So... At the end of the movie, he's basically dead, or is this sludge monster. Nice. Like, as far as I remember, I don't think he ever becomes Ezra Miller again. But in the sequel, I guess he's back.
I was going to say, he's a big enough name, he's probably not.
Yeah. And I don't think he was as big of a name when the first movie came out, but now he's the Flash.
Oh, I suppose it's the Flash that did it. Right, that's the only reason I know who he is.
Yeah, and at that point he had probably only done We Have to Talk About Kevin.
He was Kevin.
He was Kevin. He does a very good job in that movie.
His face does look vaguely sinister.
Yeah, he's very sociopath looking.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I believe Nagini is in love with Ezra Miller, and Ezra Miller's probably in love with her.
And he's so sexy. How could he not be?
And yeah, they hang out at the circus. I don't think he does a circus act.
It's not like a muggle circus.
No, it's a wizard circus.
I was going to say, in that case, like turning into a snake, pretty damn impressive.
That would
as opposed
make
to
a lot more sense. As far as I understand, it is a wizard circus.
Now, I'm going to say, my whole thing, what I would love to see in Harry Potter universe is how the muggle and magical worlds interact and coincide. So maybe I would enjoy these Fantastic Beasts movies a little more than I assumed I would.
Yeah,
because it sounds like there's a lot of muggle, you know, relations.
The idea that the Fantastic Beasts movies take place during the same time as, like, the Salem Witch Trial era, so people are somewhat aware of witches and are trying to destroy them, is kind of interesting.
I thought it took place in the 20s.
When were the Salem Witch? I guess earlier than that. They would be the 1880s. So, like, I mean, 40 years.
Yeah, I guess that's not that big of a difference.
Yeah. There's still things we're dealing with from 40 years ago.
Yeah. Because I have a fanfic in my head.
Okay, tell
not
me
even
the fanfic.
From, not even from this podcast. From years ago.
Yes.
That I've been pretending that I'm writing. Uh-huh. As I go on long walks or whatever, walking to work or whatever. I used to just pretend that I was writing this fanfic.
Yes.
I don't have much of it fleshed out. All I know is I want it to be a muggle who is undercover in a wizard school in Hogwarts or whatever, or a Canadian school. I assumed I would set it in because I know what Canada's like. I probably would have set it in Hogwarts. Just for fun.
Yeah. You want to go to friggin' Hogwarts.
Yeah.
That's the whole fantasy, is you get to go to Hogwarts.
Specifically, it's about him using technology to fake his way through being a magician.
That makes sense.
Now, they have established
when there is such lines as, now what is the use of a rubber ducky? There,
you
they
can
clearly
assume they're
don't
pretty
know
out
what
of the
an
loop.
iPhone is.
Yeah.
Or,
it's been clearly established that technology and electronics don't work in proximity to magic, or maybe it's just a spell set on Hogwarts.
Sure.
Which is basically Rowling's hand wave of, why didn't they just use a camera? Blah, 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 blah. Why didn't they just use blah technology? But one assumes that that's wizards setting that up from how many years ago? And so if there's a wizard and muggles working together, they could just, like, create a new system. And so this person could just have this, like, special wand that just can do magic by... And then maybe they're wearing, like, a cochlear implant kind of thing, a style thing that lets them, like, control what magic the wand does. And they would be... They could also be a squib from a magical family who doesn't like how magical people treat muggles. And so they're helping.
Now...
But my idea is that it's a whole government, like, infiltration kind of thing. Like how journalists would go undercover into a mental institution to see how the...
Right.
It would be an expose on how there's actually no reason for the separation between muggles and magic because technology bridges that gap. There's actually no... that a muggle can get along in magical society.
So... There is a muggle character in the Fantastic Beasts films.
He's the fat guy who is Newt Scamander's buddy,
right? I think in the first movie, Newt just does magic in front of him. And so he comes along on the adventure because they have to erase his memory at some point, and they're just not doing it right away.
I think
that's literally the thing. Because at the end of the movie, he gets his memory erased.
Aww,
even though
that sucks.
He and one of the other characters have fallen in love. And she's like, but we love each other. And he's like, but I can't know anymore. And he goes and walks in the rain that erases your memory that was caused by the eagle that Newt released, which was the Deus Ex Machina to make New York forget that all the magic happened. So, yeah, I think he comes back in the second one. So clearly he has remembered or something. Maybe they...
Newt just accidentally has magic in front of him again.
Yeah.
He has to come along again. So and then Newt looks directly in the camera and goes, here we go again.
So there is a muggle character who it has to go toe-to-toe with magicians, wizards, and, like, figure out how to, you know... I'm sure he... How I don't even remember what the movie's about, really. But, like, surely he has some sort of use, so he must use his ingenuity or his whatever to help the gang solve...
The crimes.
The crimes to get
the
all...
The crimes of Grindelwald.
The crimes of Grindelwald. Well, I think Grindelwald's whole deal is he wants to kill muggles.
He wants to rule over muggles.
Oh...
As far as I know. Which is why Dumbledore was, like, on board at any time. Because he was, like... Because he was so intensely powerful and strong. And that it was kind of like that whole white man's burden style idea. That because we are so much smarter and more evolved, we right. have a duty to help.
So empathetic, colonial ideal.
Empathetic intention, but very misguided execution, yeah. And yeah. So that was Dumbledore's whole steez. That was right. his great shame and guilt and horrible secret is basically that he was a young Nazi. Like he was with Grindelwald, and he was on board with Grindelwald's idea that
right.
the Muggles need some instruction. They need some guidance. They're so barbaric.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's.
I forgot how much I like that series.
Yeah, it is like funny. I've been thinking a lot about like how good Luna is, and just like I've been meaning like I have to sit down and reread those books and watch those movies. Apparently, they're all gonna hit Netflix. Someone was saying, but then like maybe they're not.
I really don't care for the movies.
Okay,
like I don't care about the movies, but I also don't really care for them. I don't think they're very good in general.
Really interesting.
Yeah. I can't say for sure, because I've read the books before the movies, but I feel like they don't make much sense on their own. I feel like they're...
Especially the first two really rely... The first two are very much like...
They try to include a lot of things that they don't show on screen.
They're just like, what do you call it? Side...
Yeah, a supplement...
Supplement to the books.
To the books, yeah.
I think after the third one, they started being like, hey, everyone that hasn't read the books...
Right.
Come enjoy these movies that are also pretty fun and have cool worlds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they did get their footing as movies at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I also haven't seen them in a long time, so maybe I'm wrong. The ultimate proof of that is now that these new movies have no book to stand on and are written by one of the writers, I mean the writer of Harry Potter,
right.
and directed by David Yates, who directed the most Harry Potter movies, maybe the movies don't stand on their own.
Yeah, because it's hard to tell. Have you watched them as an adult lately?
I've watched the second and third one and first one within the last 5 years. The first one is very much like fluffy kid movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, I 100% get why kids love this. But it's not a whole lot for an adult.
Yeah.
And then I would say the third one for me is when it's like, okay, this is like kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think that's for most people because I think that's just straight up true. Like it's just kind of, oh, this actually gets into the story. The
backstory. Exactly. Because the first one is so children's fantasy. Your parents are not your parents. They are meanies. And they
you have better parents.
You have better parents.
And you're special.
And you're special and... Your parents died saving you because they love you so much, and you get to go to this other world where you're not only the most important person in the world, you're also rich, and you're also the most powerful. And
plus magic is real.
Plus magic is real, and you get to go live in a castle with all of your friends who love you. And it's like, yeah, I can see why this is for children, and it became the biggest thing in the world. We almost got to writing our own Nagini fan fiction. What do we feel like Nagini is?
A snake?
Yeah.
Lady.
Why does she become a snake forever?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, the
Animorphs?
Animorphs rules. She stayed as a snake for too long.
She stayed for 2 hours, yeah.
And then her brain started to turn into a snake brain. Mm-hmm. Oh no, now she has to live as a snake.
Maybe she fell in love with Voldemort, and Voldemort's just not into human ladies. He's into snakes.
That's why he got that snake surgery for his nose.
Yeah.
Did that just happen naturally, or did he do that?
Yeah!
The book implies that it just happened naturally.
He's just so evil he became a snake nose.
Yeah, like it just...
all of his hair fell out and he grew a snake nose.
That he just, like, morphed snake-like. Which also sort of ties into my idea that he's so thoroughly a Slytherin that he affects the world around him. But since Nagini has a backstory for why the snake is smart... I'm assuming his face and his nose also have a backstory. It'll be explained in the next movie.
I guess I always assumed, and I read these books as kids, so as a child, and never, I haven't revisited them as an adult, so it's very possible I was just missing details. But I always assumed that he only grew snake face when he resurrected. Did he have snake face when he was a regular?
Oh!
A regular Tom Riddle Voldemort?
I don't know. I had assumed so. I had assumed by the time...
It makes sense.
I thought it was a slow transformation. By the time he was like... I think the books for... Or the movies, rather, for sure show...
Okay.
Him. Voldemort in Harry's house trying to kill this baby.
He's wearing a dark cloak the whole time.
Or is he just... Maybe it's just like a hand from the shadows.
Yeah. As I said, the first movie I've seen relatively recently, within the past 5 years, and I remember specifically because they do that terrible slow motion where they just double the frames.
Right, and it's all like... Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah. And it's... And walking through water. It's just like a man in a cloak opens the house, walks in, and zaps everyone. You never see him. He's just... he's wearing a cloak the whole time.
Because I assumed he looks just like crazy Voldemort, but... Like, he looks just like resurrected Voldemort, pre-resurrection. But that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because it's evil magic, so he's got evil face.
Yeah.
Side effect of, you look at the instructions, warning, may contain evil face.
Mm-hmm. Also, but he's not an animagus. Never mind, I was going to say, like...
Is he not? That's surprising, actually.
I don't think he's an animagus.
Maybe he's a secret animagus.
Maybe. I don't think he ever becomes a snake.
Maybe he's secretly a snake animagus, and then he can bone the genie.
Oh. But, like, rat friend.
Peter Pettigrew
looks like a rat.
Rat friend. Little rat friend. Oh, yeah, he's a rat face.
And, like, Sirius kind of looks like a wolf. And, I mean, Lupin's not an animagus, but he's
Harry Potter's dad had antlers growing out of his head.
Yeah.
As they were always describing. Oh. Harry, you got your mom's eyes. Your dad's antlers. Look just like him.
Do you want to take a break and come write some fan fiction?
That sounds really good.
All right, catch you in a minute on Fan Fiction Writer's Room. I'm a great Harry Hope of Laka, like and throw a fat hair in my soap. Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, let's write a fanfic.
All
right.
That's
what I want to do.
Yeah. Okay.
We rolled some characters.
Mm-hmm.
And which characters were those?
And I apologize to those who I didn't write down their names, but the characters this week are Genghis Khan, the war man, James West from the Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West.
And I assume we're going with the, in fact, we're definitely going with the Will Smith version because...
Is there another version?
Yes, that is an adaptation of an old TV series.
What?
Yes.
Today I learned. Who submitted the Genghis Khan?
Gil did.
Hurrah!
The narrator from Fight Club.
Who submitted James West?
That was Gil.
Who submitted Genghis Khan?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't write down your name. I apologize.
It was Genghis Khan himself.
Genghis Khan, yeah. Well, a descendant of Genghis Khan.
That's right.
The narrator from Fight Club was submitted by Tejita. Now that is the Edward Norton character, the
unnamed protagonist.
Unnamed protagonist sometimes refers to himself as Jack, but that is probably not his name. Mm-hmm. Pumbaa from Lion King, and I don't know who submitted you, but thank you for submitting Pumbaa. And Robin Williams, the actor, the late great actor, was submitted by Andrew. Thank you for all submitting.
We've been rambling about Harry Potter.
Yes.
For a while.
Yes.
And about these fantastical beasts mm-hmm. of this one Newt Scamander.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Pumbaa, mm-hmm. perhaps, was in fact
a magical beast.
A magical beast.
And with
he didn't even know it. His farts were so powerful because he was actually a Wartmongonglio Hoggantus.
Ah.
I don't know. What's a... the big old warthog from Princess Mononoke with all the worms in.
Yeah.
No, the worms were a different thing. Right?
Yeah.
It was just infecting the warthog. He was like a gigantic magical King of the Mountain type mm-hmm. style large animal.
Yes, and his hatred of the humans causes him to become possessed by the horrible worms.
The evil worm demons.
So Pumbaa, as we all know from The Lion King, it has huge gas problems, causes him a fear of socializing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like about this is he has a fart joke baked into his tragic backstory.
Yes.
The
best kind of backstory you can have.
He's loving and open-hearted, quite naive, but as much as Timon thinks he's the brains of the operation,
mm-hmm.
It's actually Pumbaa is much smarter than him, but he's kind of...
He has more common sense.
Yes, he's too naive to really notice that.
Mm-hmm. And he shunned himself from society.
Mm-hmm.
He sequestered himself away so he wouldn't have to face the guilt and the fear and the shame of his horrible farts.
Mm-hmm. Which is
a life of isolation.
Yes. Until Timon, of course, finds him. And then...
And the rest is history.
The rest is Hakuna Matata.
Mm-hmm.
So we could bring Timon into the story. We could bring even Simba into the story. And then we could have Newt try to put Pumbaa into his magical suitcase. And... We could,
So Newt Scamander mm-hmm. and his good buddy, Top Hat Rufus, the Muggle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what his Muggle friend's name was, of course.
Yes. And don't worry, no one
he was wearing a bowler hat, wasn't he?
No one will ever correct us on what any of the characters' names are from Fantastic Beasts, because no one cares.
Because no one knows.
Yeah,
even
no
the people
one knows.
That watched the movie. Do you even know what that guy's name was?
Oh, no.
Okay, so Newt Scamander and Top Hat Rufus are traveling to Africa
mm-hmm.
to the savannah
mm-hmm.
at Pride Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe where did Simba actually go in The Lion King? He went to a different part of Africa, I assume?
Yeah, it's like a jungle,
it's a jungle out there, man. He ran from the savannah to the jungle.
Ba 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 ba.
Oh, the trailer just came out for the live action Lion
King
movie.
I didn't actually watch it, but
it's really weird. It's just shot for shot from the
intro,
opening,
right?
But worse.
Yeah,
like cinematically,
it's
everything is worse.
No offense if you like these live action remakes, but it's like. It's weird how intertextual they are, and I haven't seen any of them, honestly, but, like, how much they rely on the old movies, where they can't exist without, and all of those movies except for The Lion King, I guess, The Lion King's Hamlet, but all of them are adaptations, but these are adaptations of the original animated film. It's very bizarre. Mostly what
I'm
getting
at. Like we were saying about the Harry Potter movies, they're basically just live-action supplements to these original movies.
Yeah,
they're not
which is
really
so
movies
weird.
On their own.
Yeah.
Like, standalone creation.
Okay, so this is what I propose for our fan fiction. Newt Scamander invades the live-action Lion King film to abscond with Pumbaa.
Now... Is it a movie in his universe?
It's not.
But the storyline of The Lion King is playing out in Africa, exactly. In a remote area.
It
in
is
the
much
Wizarding World.
Now, of course, you have seen Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Of course, yeah.
So much like in the film Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, mm-hmm. when Paul Blart interrupts the
Paul Blart Mall Cop
interrupts the Cirque du Soleil. Uh-huh. And the Cirque du Soleil...
That classic scene.
...continues on, even though there is this large mall cop...
Yes.
...interrupting...
There's a Paul Blart mall cop.
There is a Paul Blart mall cop on stage. The play continues. It is much like that.
I wonder what kind of mythical warthog creatures there are. Now I want to find out from my good friend... Ooh, the Ermanthian boar is a monstrous wild boar remembered in connection with the 12 labors in which Heracles... Oh yeah! Hercules defeated a gigantic boar!
Mm-hmm.
And you got to see it in the Disney movie even. Perhaps Pumbaa has a bit of Ermanthian boar in his lineage.
Okay.
And that causes monstrous farts.
Yes. Let's start... During the, within The Lion King, Simba has just become an adult. They're walking on the bridge, shaking their heads back and forth, singing Hakuna Matata.
Right.
And he's an adult now, and they're living in, like, the jungly bit.
Matata. Hakuna. Matata. Hakuna. It means no worries for the rest of your days. Yeah, sing it, kid. Okay, so that just happened,
yeah.
And now...
So they're, like, hanging out in the jungle, eating bugs.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to bump into Nala.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to hear my Lion King headcanon?
Yes.
So Timon and Pumbaa only think that Simba's been eating bugs this whole time. Because a lion can't live on bugs.
Yeah.
He's been eating zebra. He's been eating bullshit animals all over the place.
He's
don't know. He's been eating warthogs, like... They just don't know. He's been eating meerkats.
They're like, why are all our neighbors disappearing?
Newt Scamander.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so listen.
Yep.
Here I am in Africa. Apparently I'm from New Zealand.
All right.
No, I'm British. I think he's from London?
Yeah, he's the British character that goes to America.
Oh, is Top Hat Rufus from America?
Yes.
Does it take place in America?
The whole film takes place in America.
Wow, I'm so out of the loop on these fucking movies.
Yeah, Newt is a British fellow who goes to America, and the whole thing is like...
Here I am in the great United States.
He's got a box that he keeps all his beasts in. It's a magic box, so he enters
into it. Like a bag of holding?
Yes, it is a bag of holding. That when he goes inside, it's like this huge zoo. Is the scene where they're all sitting, where Simba and, I was about to call him Lion King, where Simba and Timon and Pumbaa are sitting in a hot tub and relaxing.
And Pumbaa's farting.
And Pumbaa's farting, and gets out, and then they notice that the bubbles have disappeared. Is that from The Lion King or from Lion King 1.5?
For sure it was in the promotional materials, okay. Whether or not it was only...
Basically, that sort of thing is happening right now.
Okay.
They're all just hanging out, mm-hmm. Hakuna Matata-ing.
Yeah.
And in comes this bumbling British fella.
So Pumbaa gets out of the hot tub, and the bubbles go away.
Mm-hmm.
And Timon and Simba go, ooh, and they also jump out of the hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
But unbeknownst to them, Pumbaa saw them, and he noticed, and he realized, oh. My incessant farting and gas is coming in the way between me and my friends.
Yeah.
Once again.
Again.
And he feels really sad. And he goes for... He's like, I need a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes for a walk. He's feeling sad.
Okay.
And that's where he's at.
So, enter in Newt. Into the opening of the jungle where Simba and Timon are.
Mm-hmm.
And so Newt goes, careful, Top Hat Rufus.
Well, boy, howdy. Where's all these magical, fantastical beasts at?
They're not here. For some reason, an African lion is in the jungle.
How curious. Supposed to be on the savannah. I learned that from my textbooks.
What is... this is Simba.
No, he can speak English.
Timon, is that a man?
Is that a human?
A human?
Careful, Simba. These humans, they're tricky.
Grrr.
Does he want to eat them? They look really big and juicy.
Yeah.
And I've been eating nothing but grubs for a while.
Yeah, so
as far as you know.
Especially Top Hat Rufus looks really yummy.
Oh my god, he's so plump. And then when Simba looks at him, he like dissolves into a picture of a giant floating turkey leg.
Mm.
And then the turkey leg is wearing a top hat and turns to his buddy and goes, that lion's looking at me and drooling.
And then Newt becomes, what does Newt become? What's like a lean meat or a lean...
Oh, like some fried tofu?
Yes.
On a bit of noodles.
Yes. And Simba goes, blah, and goes back to...
Oh no, maybe he becomes British food.
Like, oh yeah, like, a crumpet.
Mashed potatoes and some sausage.
Bangers and
sausages.
Mash.
Yeah, bangers and mash.
He becomes a bangers and mash.
Simba goes, blah, and turns back to Top Hat Rufus. Mm-hmm.
And Simba lunges at Top Hat Rufus.
Oh my god, maybe he eats him. That's how we get it out of the story. No, is that too grisly?
I mean, I don't know. I can yes and you. If you suggest something, I'm gonna yes and you.
That's true. I forgot. I do have to be careful what I say. No, that's too grisly.
Okay. So Newt...
he just bites one arm off.
Stupefies him. And...
Is it stupefy?
Is it stupefy? He freezes him. What's his freeze magic?
Freezeify. Freezio.
So Simba...
Yeah, it's stupefy.
Is mid-lunge. And then falls over in this pose. And Timon is terrified.
And Newt goes, phew, thank goodness I had my magic wand that I can do all my magic with. And Top Hat Rufus goes, oh, I thought we were on a safari expedition. Turns out he didn't know it was magic until just this moment.
Is Top Hat Rufus a huge dummy?
Yes.
I love it.
I thought so.
Okay. So, Timon overhears the wand.
Huh. So magic exists, huh?
Ah. I could use myself a magic wand.
Mm-hmm.
But Timon's cleverer than that. He's, he just puts up his hands for now. Says, what? How do you do what's his face?
A meerkat voice? A Nathan Lane?
Isn't Nathan Lane?
Yeah.
A Nathan Lane voice.
I
mean, you were kind of doing
it's
it.
From Brooklyn. Hey, what's all this? Nope, that's British. Hey, they all go A. Yeah. Everyone everywhere says
Every
A.
Every accent is A.
Well, easy there. We don't want no trouble.
I'm looking for a warthog. Have you seen a warthog around here?
Warthog? There ain't no warthogs around here. The only warthog around here is my buddy Pumbaa, and he's the... Ooh. I didn't mean to say that.
Now, this Pumbaa, is he rather gaseous?
You've met him before, huh? All right.
Oh my gosh, Top Hat Rufus. It's him, the one we've been looking for.
The Erymanthian boar.
The Erymanthian boar. Yes.
Erymantha, what? He's just a warthog.
Ah, foolish Top Hat Rufus. You do not know of the Erymanthian boar, the gaseous boar that farts, the huge farts.
What? Tell me all about this fantastical, mythical creature.
Well, and Newt.
Wait a second. Me, Top Hat Rufus, am I from Brooklyn too? I guess so.
You might as well be. Timon and Top Hat Rufus are like,
I'm both from Brooklyn? Yay! Even 12th Street and 57.
Oh, yeah. You know, old Sally's Diner.
Sally's Diner. Old Crazy Joe hangs out on the corner.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. How Crazy Joe doing?
He passed away.
I'm not Crazy Joe.
Yeah, too crazy.
I guess it was his time.
Chasing taxis.
Is he a dog?
He finally got one. He thought he was a dog. That's why he was so crazy.
Oh, I guess that's it.
It's like you never met Crazy Joe before. It's like his main trait. He's always barking and pooping on the sidewalk. All right, so they're bonding, and...
So Newt goes to explain what an Erymanthian boar is. He takes out his wand, yes. And he does,
so,
like...
So, do that for me now. Explain to me what an Erymanthian boar is.
He takes out his
wand. My good friend, Newt Scamander.
He does some illusory magic to create, like, little clouds of boar. And they're, you know, it's like, in the past, there was these boars that grew...
They grew real big?
They grew really big, and they were so gaseous that they scared off every creature around, and...
And their farts were poison.
Their farts were poison. They, only those with true love in their heart of the boar could withstand their farts.
Right.
And
was that how Heracles defeated their...
Well, Heracles was a wizard, you see.
Oh!
And that's how he did it. And while Newt is explaining this, Timon jumps and grabs the wand.
Oh, no! And, oh, Newt Scamander, you're so airheaded!
And blasts Simba with it.
Oh, my God.
And Simba...
So Timon's been just like... simmering resentment for Simba this whole time.
No!
Oh, no, he gets rid of the stupefy magic.
He gets rid of the stupefy magic. And
I always hated you. Finally, I can get rid of you once and for all.
We kept you around.
And then I'll be king of the jungle.
It is I, the Lion King.
Wow, what a twist. Pulls off his mask and scar. He was here the whole time. Okay, so he gets rid of the stupefy. He just knows how to do it. Because yeah. He was studying Newt's movements.
Yeah. And the two of them go running off into the jungle, mm-hmm. trying to find Pumbaa, get out of there.
Yeah.
And now Newt and Top Hat Rufus have to get their wand back.
Oh no.
And also get Pumbaa. So they go chasing after him.
And Pumbaa was standing sadly. And he was gazing down in the same waters that Rafiki showed him to the magical gazing pool.
Yes.
And he was gazing sadly at his reflection. And he could see his reflection and it turned into Mufasa. Yeah. It turned into his...
Remember who you are.
What am I supposed to remember?
Simba.
And then turned into his father.
Who?
Pumbaa who, Sr.
Who is
smoking
also...
a big cigar and he's like, hey, remember... Who you are, my son.
Remember when you were born and I held you up over that trash can?
And all the rats and the pigeons, they were bowing. You're king of the...
Remember who you are.
You're king of the trash heap.
You're a trash monster and you always will be.
You were born trash and you died trash. And you've been nothing but trash in between.
That, of course, bums Pumbaa.
I was like, this is not helping. Rafiki's like, I was not expecting that to go that way.
Normally, this is, like, very uplifting and, like, I'm sorry. Hakuna Matata.
And Pumbaa farts.
And then farts and Rafiki falls over.
And he's dead.
He's dead.
But then Simba and Timon come running in
Pumbaa.
Through the vines. Pumbaa!
We gotta get out of here. There's a crazy British fellow and a fat American, and they're coming to catch you.
A crazy British fellow and a fat American. What do they want with me? Pumbaa, the fartiest of all the warthogs.
They called you a Erymanthian boar?
Wait a second. Did you say Erymanthian boar?
That's what they said. We gotta get out of here. Come on,
my great-grandpappy, Erymanthius, was from Greece. And he said that we got mythical blood in our veins. Is that what he was talking about?
Wait, Pumbaa. What if we have love in our heart for you? We can withstand your gaseous gases. Could you knock them out?
Use my farts for good? Could it be?
And then the pond pops up and it's like, you're trash! You can't use your farts for good. You're just like me.
You're just like your mother. You'll never amount to nothing.
And Pumbaa stares daggers at his father Puddle, and he turns to where Newton and Top Hat Rufus
are. They've been running and they catch up. Okay, here we are.
And they see him. It's that Erymanthian bull! And Pumbaa.
I forget if I'm from Brooklyn too.
Yeah.
It's me, Top Hat Rufus.
No, what Top Hat Rufus says, it says, it's the pig!
Oh, yeah, it's the big fat pig!
Big fat pig!
It's the fart pig!
He says, that's Mr. Pig!
Oh, and then he turns around, and Timon cocks his tail.
Yeah.
And then, I think they do that in
that's
the
surely
movie.
A gag sometime. Yeah. They scare off hyenas that way or something. My very sensitive British nose!
Oh, it's filling up my nose passages. It stinks so bad. Like rotten eggs and fish.
And the two of them go 90 degrees and then fall over. Beep. They become stupefied without even a stupefy spell. We got out of it. We defeated them. Pumbaa, you're the best. I love you.
Thanks, Simba. And also Timon, my good best friends. I guess I learned a valuable lesson. What you think are bad things about you can actually be good things about you when you learn about your ancestors.
What ancestors?
Remember to study history.
And then Simba looks up in the clouds.
That ancestors.
And Mufasa's staring down at them like, buddy.
And he's just like, uh-huh. He's doing the Oprah gift shrug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Simba's like, I have to go. And it goes, da 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 da.
And that's how that happened. Yeah. And then the rest of the Lion King happens. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, Timon has a magic wizard's wand.
Yeah.
And he does interrupt the Statute of Secrecy and expose wizardry to all of the Muggles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why...
And that's when the crimes of Grindelwald take place.
Yeah. Yeah.
The end.
The end.
We did it.
You want to do some sandwich criticism?
Yeah. Now, what I liked about that one was all of the Brooklyn... buddies.
Yeah.
But what I also didn't like was how much that got in the way of me doing any other voice. It was so hard to go back and forth. And everyone sounded the same by the end. You were good at doing Newt, though.
Yeah, I had a really good time doing Newt.
Yeah.
I don't exactly know what I was pulling from, but like I felt like I really captured our version of Newt, who is very different, I'm sure, from the real Newt.
Yep.
But like I quite enjoyed our Newt. What's one thing we didn't like?
I kind of mentioned the thing I didn't like.
Is it two things we liked and one thing we didn't like, right?
That's a thing you like, then you do criticism, then another thing you like.
I know we've done this for like 30 episodes.
Yeah, but I've been inconsistent with our schedule, so it's tough and we forget. So the thing we like, accents, great.
Great. Thing we didn't like, accents, bad.
Accents, bad, yes.
Last thing we liked.
Last thing we like.
I like the Timon father, like, tying that in with the pond.
You
like,
mean Pumbaa's father.
Sorry, Pumbaa's father. Yeah. I like that anyone looks in a lake.
Yeah, you see their father. Show them your magic ancestry in a pond.
And, you know, remember who
it really
you...
adds to the Lion King lore, I think.
Yes, I think so. And I think the creators intended that from the beginning, that any character in the Lion King looks into a pond, sees their father, hears their father's voice.
That was directed by Ron Clemens?
Yes.
And remember when he went on Twitter and he was like, oh, by the way, Timon was trans the whole time.
And
you remember, oh, that's right, there's a deep and rich, vibrant community in the Lion King.
I really liked...
That we weren't even privy to the whole time.
I really liked when he explained that Simba is, in fact, Simba's thoughts on Israel. I really liked when he explained what how Simba would feel about the political climate. About the Palestinian and Israeli
conflict.
Yeah.
It really, like, I really needed to know that.
Exactly,
that
yeah.
deep, rich lore about Simba.
I agree.
And the fact that Rafiki was on roller skates the entire time. It wasn't relevant to Simba's journey, though. So,
what's really interesting
so it's
about,
never mentioned, but they are there the whole time.
Is how Lion King is a movie. So you'd think they would have just
drawn
roller skates.
Yeah, but it was like in his heart.
Yes.
And in his mind. Mm-hmm. You know they're there, but you can't see them. But it really, like, enriches the rest of the story. Like, I'll stop dunking on Rowling when she stops being so dunkable.
Yeah.
Stop lowering the basketball hoop and putting it right in my face and putting a basketball right in my hands. I can't
honestly
help myself.
If you'd like to suggest characters for us, send them on over to ffwrshow@gmail.com.
And thanks to the band known as Seawater Bliss for the use of their song Theme from Teen Wolf 2 as our intro and outro.
And remember, when in doubt, just AU that garbage.
People know that the band is actually called the phrase, the band known as Seawater Bliss. I want to point that out in the epilogue. You know, as the music is going.
Yeah.